Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning for our sermon is the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read from the 13th chapter of St. Luke. And our theme this morning, Jesus, the suffering Messiah. Please be seated. Why is this happening to me, O Lord? O Lord, why are you allowing me to suffer like this? O God, what did I do to deserve all this pain and all this anguish and all this heartache? I know that these are questions that you have asked before, because there are questions that I have asked before, not only for myself, but even for some of you. These are natural questions because in our humanness, we cry out to God. And since we aren't God, we don't have all the answers. And so therefore, we cry out to Him in hope and in faith that He will answer. Therefore, dearest beloved, may I remind you of what God does say about these questions. In the book of Philippians, He writes, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of many things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead." Thus writes Paul in the third chapter of Philippians. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, we look at the suffering Messiah, Jesus Christ, the suffering one, and how that relates to us. Last week, you heard that Jesus did something wonderful for you. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly offered Himself there in Jerusalem to hang from a tree, to suffer and to die for each and every one of you. He did this to reveal to you and to the world that He is I am who I am. He is the great I am. He did this to redeem a suffering humanity, from eternal suffering and eternal death. He did this to provide a way of escape in your suffering and your temptation. Remember the words of our Lord in the book of 1 Corinthians. "No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way out, a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." These are the words that your children heard this morning. And thus, when the temptation was laid before them, some resisted, some did not. Yet, they heard what Jesus has done for them, that when we do act on the temptations that come into our lives, God is faithful and just, and when we confess our sins, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is His promise, and it is sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, in our text today, Jesus provides for you an answer. He provides for you an answer in your suffering. He reveals this to you and to those people then, that there is something that you must do. The need to repent of your sins. My dear brothers and sisters, this is really our Lenten task. This is one of the reasons for the season of Lent, so that we can focus, remember our sins, and understand that we are sinful human beings, you and me, that we trespass against God and His commandments daily and much, that not one of us are perfect, that not one of us are sinless. And thus, there's the example of the Galileans this morning. The thought then, and even the thought today of some, that when a great tragedy occurs in your life, then the person who is killed or injured, well, they must have deserved it because they are being punished for their sins. The Galileans, in the case of our text this morning, their blood was mixed with a sacrifice, the sacrifice that they were making there in the temple. This was done by Pontius Pilate, a name that you're all familiar with. As Pilate desecrated the temple as soon as he came into Galilee, Pilate, trying to be the strong man, proved that he was actually a very weak man. He mixed the blood of the Galileans with their sacrifices, and the people thought that these Galileans were horrendous sinners. They must have deserved this. And Jesus' answer is an emphatic no. No. The Galileans that remained alive there, they were no better or no worse than those who were killed. Since all sinners, no matter who they are, will die unless they repent of their sin. What is death? Death is spiritual. The death that Jesus talks about is spiritual death. For when we fail to confess our sins, to repent of our spiritual sins, those sins that we commit against God, we will die the second death. Thus, the death of every unrepentant sinner is a great tragedy. Why? God tells us in the Old Testament lesson this morning that He desires not the death of anyone. He doesn't desire that any man or woman or child be cast into hell. His desire that everyone repent and be saved. So why is there the tragedy of the unrepentant sinner? It's because they reject the truth. They reject Jesus and the work that He has accomplished here for them upon His cross. They tragically die in their trespasses and sin due to their unbelief. And then there's the 18 at Siloam. Here, this is a natural tragedy, a natural event, when a tower accidentally fell and killed 18 people in Jerusalem. We could say that the deaths of these 18 people were a punishment. But again, what does Jesus say? Again, He says emphatically, no! The only escape from death is to repent. For without repentance, there will be no escape from eternal death, from eternal pain, my dear friend, from eternal suffering. So Jesus clearly tells us the importance of repentance, of confessing our sins and hearing the blessings of the absolution that your sin is forgiven. So therefore, Jesus tells a parable, the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree was supposed to bear fruit. After all, isn't that why a owner of a farmer would plant a crop so that it would bear fruit? But with this fig tree here planted in the vineyard, no figs, no fruit, none. The owner expected fruit to be on this tree. And as you notice in the text, he kept coming year after year after year, expecting to see fruit on this fig tree. But there are none. Over 3 years and no fruit. So the owner demands that the fruit tree be chopped down. Now, he doesn't do this in anger, but he does it by necessity. After all, if you have a tree that's not producing fruit, therefore, it must be dead. Or it's taking up space. It's using up nutrients from the ground, and obviously those nutrients aren't being taken into the tree. So you remove the tree and plant a new tree that will use those nutrients and that will bear fruit. But the vine dresser pleads for more time. He says, "Sir, one more year. Give it one more year. I will care for this tree. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, it can be chopped down." Notice that there's no explanation given. Sometimes Jesus will tell us the gist of the parable, what the parable was about, but this time he does not. But it should be obvious to us that the owner of the tree is the Father in heaven. He is very long-suffering. He demands that trees bear fruit. He demands that his children bear fruit in keeping with repentance. If there is none, then it must be removed to make room for those who will be fruitful. The vine dresser is Jesus, who pleads on your behalf. He is your intercessor. He is the one who sits at God's right hand, and there he is your mediator. What does Jesus base his case upon? Jesus bases everything on his work here on the cross. His sacrificial death for each of you. So then, God's grace flows through his Son, yet his grace is not forever. As you, my brother and sister, continue to live in this age of grace, you must be aware of your necessity to repent of your sins. As you are convicted by the law, as little Evan was convicted of the law, then we also hear the sweetness of the gospel. We hear that, yes, the law which crushes us should condemn us. But then we hear, no. No, Jesus took that condemnation. And he went willingly, by his own accord, to the cross. And there he bore your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. We hear in the Holy Gospel that your sin is forgiven. Washed away by the blood of the Lamb. God's grace is extended to you. Always being extended to you. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Yet we know that this age of grace will come to an end. And Jesus does reveal to us the solution of our sufferings. In his suffering, you see the way of escape for your suffering. You identify with your suffering in your baptism. You benefit from his suffering here at the Lord's Supper. You rejoice in your suffering, dear one, for it strengthens your faith. Therefore, in his resurrection, we have the promise. We have the promise to the end of suffering. Yes, the day is coming when all your suffering will be gone. What does Jesus tell us in the apocalypse? "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. God had prepared her as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God.' He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain anymore." This is what your suffering servant has done for you, my dear brother and sister. You will suffer in this life, but the day is coming. The day is coming when Jesus will stand before you, and He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have endured to the end, and since you have endured, welcome. Welcome into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Well done, good and faithful servant, for your sins are forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.